like I said, after, it was no work of art by any stretch. But I like what I saw in that our guys did what was necessary in all three phases to secure the victory in the midst of a subpar performance in some instances. I think to highlight some of the negatives and some of the things that we need to focus on and improve, obviously we were highly penalized in the game. In-game penalties are kind of one thing. That's usually ironed out with continued emphasis on technique. And in some instances, we got some guys working hard and not necessarily smart. Those things usually smooth themselves out as you push through the first quarter of the season. What needs to disappear and disappear yesterday is some of the pre-snap things, illegal formations, false starts, et cetera, et cetera. That's self-inflicted wounds. We won't tolerate that. We cannot tolerate that. It's my job to get it fixed. And we'll work on that this week, obviously. But, you know, they hurt you in a lot of ways. They put you behind the chains. They eliminate explosion plays, affect field position, of course, minimize scoring opportunities. Kind of all those things happened to us with some of the self-inflicted wounds yesterday. Like I said, it's good to kind of learn those lessons and identify some of those things in the midst of victory. And we did enough to do it. Offensively, I like the contributions in our run game from the offensive line. I thought they did a nice job of protecting Ben. Largely, we weren't sacked in the football game. Obviously, it was a positive having Rashard back. He produced some plays for us. But overall, just a good general effort. Some of the things that I thought were going to be critical in the game unfolded that way. We've got a pretty good third down offense. They've got a really good third down defense. I think it leaned more toward our comfort zone. We converted some critical third downs in the football game. Two come to mind on the last drive. Of course, third and 12 from Ben to Antonio was big. But there were several third down situations in the game where I thought that we answered the bell and were able to keep drives alive and, of course, to control the ball because of it. Defensively, we had to get after those guys and try to contain and pressure Mike Vick at the same time. I thought we had success in that area, particularly early. Created turnovers for us, kept us in the football game till we smoothed out some of the self-inflicted wounds from a penalty standpoint, at least offensively. But largely a good team effort. Of course, Sean Sweetson was big for us, 3 for 3, hitting the field goal there on the last waning seconds of the game. So got a lot to build upon, but at the same time, we temper that excitement with the understanding that we have a lot to work on. We got a short time in which to do it this week, playing on Thursday night in Tennessee. We're not concerned about that. It's a short week for them as well. What we are concerned about is how we utilize our time in order to prepare. From an injury standpoint, we came out of the game with some bumps and bruises, of course, over a number of guys, but the ones significant, the ones you need to mention, of course, Troy re-injured his right calf. He probably will be deemed out this week, of course, because of the week itself being a quick turnaround, but also just the nature of the injury. So we'll evaluate him when we get back from Tennessee. We don't think he's going to participate. Similar thing could probably be said for Lamar, although there's more optimism regarding where he is. It's just a mild hamstring injury, if there's such a thing. It's still a hamstring injury. We're at the early portions of the season. We gotta be smart in terms of how we deal with that. Being a short week, it minimizes his opportunity to play, but we'll leave the door ajar for him. Some of the other guys that have come back from injury, James Harrison came through the game relatively fine, a little swelling, but nothing major. We'll watch him as we prepare this week. Rashard Mendenhall, I think, came through the game relatively fine. The rest of the things are kind of bumps and bruises that come along with play. We need to work smart this week, understanding what we're dealing with, and we'll do that. We'll try to the delicate balancing act of preparing the guys and preserving them at the same time. The good thing for us is, you know, we've been in quite a few of these Thursday night games, probably as many as anybody in the league here in the last 4 or 5 years. So it's nothing new to us. We'll still respect the process that it is preparing for it and hopefully go play some winning football on Thursday. I'll spend some time talking about the Tennessee Titans. Obviously, they're a team that's off to a slow start. To me, from my perspective as I sit here, that makes them dangerous. They've been on the road the last 2 weeks and have suffered losses the last time they were at home. Of course, they had a victory, a big one, versus Detroit Lions. We're a team that's 2-2, have yet to win a game on the road. Obviously, this is a big game for us as well, for similar reasons. They're getting back in a comfort zone where they won the last time they played. We've yet to win on the road, and if we're going to be a competitive type of team, particularly the type of team that we aspire to be, you got to go into hostile environments and do the job, and we haven't done that. Thursday night football in Nashville, we anticipated being hostile. We anticipate a certain level of urgency coming from these guys, and they got some good players. I'll start talking about some defensive guys. I think whenever you play a 4-3 team, you start with the defensive ends. They've got a couple good ones. They picked up Wembley in free agency. They got Derek Morgan, a Georgia Tech third-year man, talented, high-round draft pick. They set the tone from a pass rush standpoint. As always in recent history, Tennessee plays a big rotation. They got guys up front like Casey Cedric Marks, Mike Martin, a rookie from Michigan who's got good interior pass rush games, got 2 sacks already. We really liked him in the draft. They play a number of people up front, but I think Morgan and Wembley are the bell cows, if you will, setting the tone for the pressure that they create and the way that they try to break down pockets. They supplement that rush with coverage, primarily zone coverage. I think they got some really good zone corners in Verner and McCourty. They're very good tacklers. They're very aware. They play with the ball in the air. They're good in the misdirection passing game and so forth. They make quality plays for them. Of course, Michael Griffin is a Pro Bowl caliber safety and has been for a number of years, a good player on the back end for them. And they got a mix of old and young, if you will, at linebacker. Witherspoon's been around for quite some time, savvy veteran player. And, of course, Akeem Ayers is a young, talented guy at UCLA. Offensively, I don't know their quarterback situation. I know that Hasselbeck has been playing recently. I know that Locker sustained a non-throwing shoulder injury. We'll wait to see, like you guys. We'll take a look at the tape and see what both guys are capable of, see what personalities they have with one or both, and see what the week holds for us. They've got some talented targets that they throw to. First-round draft pick Wright is doing some great things for them out of Baylor. Their leading receiver, Nate Washington, of course, who we're very familiar with, was very big in their big win against Detroit and has made splash plays for him. Last couple of years, I think he's coming off his best year. Got a lot of respect for Nate and what he's capable of. And, of course, Kenny Britt out of Rutgers is a talented, big wideout who's tough to cover and tough to get on the ground after the catch. He experienced the injury, wasn't expected to play, played some last week. So we expect the arrow to be pointed up in his participation. Their tight end, Cook, is a matchup issue. Is and has been. He's both big and fast. Particularly when you're talking about playing without a guy like Troy, it'll be a debate in terms of how we defend him and who we choose to defend him with. He creates that kind of problem, though, regardless of whether Troy's playing or not, because he has that level of talent. Chris Johnson, their featured runner, of course, is capable of going yard on you anytime he touches it. We were fortunate last time, I think we were up there, he went about 80 on us and a play got called back. He's that type of guy. We got to get multiple hats to the ball. We got to play with great energy. We got to hustle. We got to tackle. Similar to some of the things that you talk about when you talk about defending LeSean McCoy, but at the same time, even more dangerous because of the top-end speed. This guy's as fast as anybody in football. I don't think anybody would dispute that. From a special team standpoint, they're historically solid in that area. Their punting has been awesome. I think they're about 44, 45-yard net average in the punting game. So the field position battle could be affected by that. We've got to be good in the kicking game because of it. I'll be happy to address any questions anyone might have.
Just to clarify Lamar's status, he said he was similar to Troy, but he might be able to go?
Similar in that, you know, from a judgment standpoint, on a short week, you'd always lean to him being out as opposed to in. But I acknowledge that his injury is less severe and could be characterized as a mild hamstring, so we'll leave the door ajar.
Mike, were you at all surprised that Mendenhall was able to cut and had the vision? Were you concerned about him being a bit rusty, not having played for nearly a year?
I wasn't concerned about his cutting ability. I was concerned about just general rust that's associated with not playing the game, tracks and keys and so forth. I've seen him cut. We've all seen him cut here in recent weeks in preparation for the outing, and he's always in great conditioning, but there's a difference between conditioning in football conditioning, and of course, the wear and tear that the body absorbs over the course of the game can affect people. But largely, we were pleased with what we saw from him, and hopefully his arrow up as we continue to move forward with this journey.
Mike, on the call on Mike Wallace, the legal formation, was that something like really close, or was he obviously so close to the line that he covered up Heath Miller?
Yeah, you know, I'm not concerned about close. It was called, and it was justified, and it was illegal. So, you know, we got to fix that. We can't beat ourselves in that manner.
Mike, was the call on Ryan, the personal foul, justified? Had the whistle blown?
Which Ryan are you talking about?
I'm sorry, Ryan Clark.
Yeah, you know, we're not going to dispute calls. Those guys are trying to do the best they can, particularly in light of some of the emphasis that we have in today's NFL regarding player safety. Just know that we're trying our very best to play within the rules, and it's just as disappointing for us when we don't. We got a desire to play within the rules. We also got a desire to increase our chances of winning, and when you're picking up 30 yards of penalties on one drive, that's going to give people an opportunity to score. So obviously we're trying to rectify those things and not less concerned about judgments and interpretations and so forth, and more concerned about playing in a manner that the flags stay in the pocket.
But did Ryan Clark do anything wrong there?
I'm not getting into that, Ed. Give me a new one. Okay, next question.
Mike, as far as remedying those penalties, the whole situation's been 4 weeks in a row now. Is that scaring the guys, punishing the guys? How do you turn that around?
You know, I think we're no different than anybody else in the National Football League in regards to dealing with some of those type of injuries that penalties that we're talking about. We had an opportunity to sit the week out last week, and I saw similar things from other teams. So, you know, we'll continue to do the best that we can and understand that we have a high level of respect for how the game needs to be played today.
James Harrison said he pulled up on one play because he was worried about a fine. How do you bridge that, Mike?
Play by play.
Mike, did you have a chance to look at Ryan Mundy's play, the hit that he was called? Did it look like a helmet hit to you?
Guys, I'm not disputing these penalties in here with you guys. I'll do it in a proper manner with the people at the league office if I have a beef. I'm not going to do it in here. That's unprofessional as far as I'm concerned.
Coach, you have a shorter week. Obviously, you don't have as many days on the practice field, but how do you scale back how many reps a guy will take? Is this more of a mental rep week because of the way it falls?
It has to be. For several reasons. We need to shorten the amount of time that they're on their feet. We need to minimize the amount of running and so forth. And it potentially affects what you decide to do and how you decide to do it in the game. But like I said earlier, you know, we've had a lot of practice at this and pretty comfortable with our approach to playing. Doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, we're going to roll the ball out and play how we desire to play. So we respect the process that is the preparation week, but we're comfortable with the blueprint that we have in terms of dealing with it, at least at this juncture.
Like Rashard James came back. He was talking about his conditioning after the game. He said he knew more about his knee today. Have you heard from him at all or any of the trainers about his knee today and how it reacted?
Nothing in great detail. I know that he's downstairs working out, but obviously we're all hopping pretty good. Hadn't had a chance to have a face-to-face with him.
As far as the offensive line, been at high praise for their pass protection following the game. It's been pretty good the last couple of weeks. Can you speak to how they've elevated their game protecting the quarterback?
They did a nice job, but I also thought that we did a nice job changing some things up and assisting them. Chips and so forth, the screen game assisted in that, some of the draws that we executed. I thought it was just a good body of work by all parties involved, not taking anything, of course, away from the offensive line. But I just thought it was a good group effort in regards to that.
Going back to James, what did he ultimately give you?
I'm sorry?
Going back to James Harrison, what did he ultimately
give you? I think he had three or four pressures on the quarterback. Obviously, he produced some tackles, and I think a guy like James, his presence is a shot in the arm to the others. I think that, you know, players of his caliber inspire others and create a certain level of comfort in others. You don't deny that. You know, it's somewhat intangible. But you acknowledge that it exists.
Mike, James said that he was surprised he felt so good in the fourth quarter. I know with Lamar coming out, maybe that affected it. But did you think about taking, you know, spelling James here and there, or was he okay?
It was a continual discussion, but it was a continual discussion that we always came away from comfortable. And not that I'm surprised by that. Like I was talking about in reference to him a week or so ago, he's a unique guy. He knows how to play. He's highly conditioned. So, you know, he doesn't necessarily fall inside the guidelines of normal in regards to some of those things.
Mike, Lawrence Timmons seemed to have one of his better games yesterday. Your thoughts on his performance, and how do you kind of bottle that to get it repeatedly?
You know, he did a great job. He did what we asked him to do, but Lawrence has been very consistent for us in general. You know, he did a nice job of bottling up a guy like Shady McCoy, who has a unique talent and skill set, and I think that, you know, sometimes you got to fight fire with fire. Lawrence is a uniquely talented guy. He better bring those weapons to the stadium on Thursday night because Chris Johnson is a uniquely talented guy.
He seemed to suggest after the game, Timmons now, that maybe he got more opportunities, that he wasn't bridled by any leashes. Was he freer to do some things?
You know, we brought him a little bit more in this contest maybe than we have. But, again, like I talked about during the bye week, what you've seen thus far isn't necessarily our personality. We're still in the growing stages of the season, and, you know, we're still adding to our packages and our menu and finding a rhythm of what works for us in all three phases. So, you know, that such is life, you know. It worked out pretty good. Maybe we'll continue to bring them more.
Mike, you guys lost, I think, 4 out of 5 on the road dating back to last year. Is there any common – what do you really need to look to tighten up to kind of get a better performance?
You know, I haven't considered last year at all. I could care less, to be honest with you. I am concerned about the 2 losses that we have on the road this year. And, you know, we gave up big plays in those 2 games. You can point to that. In Denver, of course, they had a big screen play for 70-plus yards, had a breakout run in Oakland. You give up explosion plays, you decrease your chances of winning. You know, just largely, we got to operate in hostile environments and understand and respect what that is. You know, I'm not going to try to explain it away. More than anything, we just need to respect the fact that we have yet to prove that this year, and we got an opportunity on Thursday night.
Mike, was Willie Colon one of those guys? You were talking about guys that were really trying, but, you know, maybe committing some penalties. Is he one of those guys, and is he doing something particularly, you know, too aggressive, or what, or technique, or what's going on there?
That has been an issue with Willie at times in terms of over-aggression, but, you know, I'd rather say woe than sick him.
Can you go through your thought process on the game-winning field goal? Clock stopped at 14 seconds, 3rd down. Were you thinking about kicking there in case there's a bad snap with the timeout remaining? You ran a play and then kicked it with 3 seconds.
I just wanted to stop the clock to ponder the possibilities, to see if there was a certain hash mark that we were more comfortable with, to see if the elements were an issue, just to generally hash through the potential scenarios of addressing the situation. And obviously, kicking on 3rd down was one of them. But we were comfortable where we were. We positioned the ball where we wanted to, and we sent Sweetsham and company out there to do the job. And, you know, you always acknowledge the kicker when he does the job, but Greg Warren has been rock solid for us, as has Drew Holden. And when a young punter is on your football team, you spend a lot of time talking about the punting element of it, and he's been solid in that area, but he's been equally impressive in holding. So, more than anything, it was the level of comfort we had with their ability to operate is the reason why we didn't kick it on 3rd down.
It's been a bit of a limited window for you to look at Tennessee, obviously, but stylistically, have you been able to glean how similar they are under Coach Munchak as opposed to Coach Fisher?
I haven't.
Mike, what's your plan this week with Wesley Saunders, and do you have a while before you have to make a roster move?
Yeah, we have an exemption this until Friday at 4 o'clock. So we could choose to activate him and play him in this game, or we could choose to make the decision after the game. We'll see where we are as we get into the week. Right now, we're just more concerned about getting a schematic plan in place and looking at the overall health of the guys that are in question in terms of how we build our plan. We hadn't pondered some of those things that are a little less relevant.
Mike, what have you seen from David Paulson, his whole body of work from – he's a rookie, obviously, but since the minute he arrived here, and he got some snaps Sunday.
You know, I think the big thing is he's proven that it's not too big for him. He's an attention-to-detail guy. He works hard. He's been a productive player for us in special teams, and that's not something that we underscore when you're talking about an offensive guy from the tight end position. He's been a multiple special teams phase participant. So he's done some good things. He's definitely got room for growth, but we're not displeased with where he is.
How long do you have to monitor Mendenhall's workload, and when can you just unleash him and say, okay, he's good?
You know, I just think that we're going to continue to do that. I think that, you know, when someone's coming off a knee injury, I think those are 12-month projects, if you will. So, you know, we're not going to allow comfort to creep in with us in regards to his return and his overall health.
Mike, if Troy is out, is Ryan Mundy still replacing him?
Yes, but we're also willing to look at Will Allen some as well. Both of those guys have a ridiculous workload in special teams. Obviously, they're 4-phase guys, both of them, in teams, and we're working on a short week. So we're willing and capable of playing both guys.
Mike, is the injury that Troy has, the only way to fix that is rest?
I'm not equipped to answer that right now, to be honest with you. I just know it's a re-aggravation of the calf, and hadn't had a great deal of detailed information or discussions with him or the medical staff since yesterday.